We're towards the end of the first chapter of Joshua, and the hope is to go a little faster towards the end of the first chapter and to begin at just the first sentence of the second chapter, which discusses sending spies into the land of Israel, which could be appropriate for today. It's the very beginning of settling the land of Israel. And so we will start with where we left off at the end of the first chapter, and then we'll continue on with the second chapter. So far, the first nine verses, which is not in front of you, which is what we covered last week, which is in last week's sheet, was Hashem, a conversation between Hashem and Yehoshua. Hashem was basically charging Yehoshua to become the new leader. He's the new leader, and that's what we focused on a lot. Chazak v'amatz, that he should strengthen himself. He's taking over for Moshe. Other people will doubt him, but he has to make sure to stay strong. So now we continue on with the chapter, and there are now two parts to the chapter. So we'll read verse 10 and 11. It says, "Vayitzav Yehoshua es shotrei ha'am le'mor." So now they have to get into action, right? Hashem charged Yehoshua with bringing the people to the land, and so Yehoshua now gives the orders, and he says, and now verse 11, "Ivru bekerav ha'machaneh." Vitzavu es ha'am le'mor, go to the people and say to them as follows. How you can prepare for war? Essentially, he's the commander in chief. He's leading them into war. Hachinu lachem tzeda. So the first thing you have to do is make sure that you have food. You have to have food with you. Why? Ki ba'od shloshes yamim atem ovrim es hayardin hazeh lavo lareshes es ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeichem nosen lachem l'rishda. Because in another 3 days, meaning this is in 3 days, you're going to pass the Yarden, the Jordan, and you're going to come to inherit the land which Hashem has given you. So you have to prepare for 3 days. And that's what Yehoshua tells the people. So that's the end of the second section of this chapter. It's verses 10 and 11. And then the remaining part of the chapter is from 12 to the very end, which is his conversation with a certain segment of the Jewish people. But just to first focus on this. Now, Yehoshua is giving orders that they should prepare themselves, because in 3 days they're going to go into the land. So it's interesting. It says that they have to prepare themselves with what? With food. The truth is that they had food, because at this point in time, how did they have their food?
They still had manna.
Excellent. So they still had manna, which meant that the manna which they got in the morning and in the evening when they were in the desert for 40 years, that continued to exist. They continued to have that while this was going on. So what does this mean that Moshe is telling them to prepare for 3 days for food? Okay. So, there's another sheet. So you have to prepare for 3 days for food. So what exactly does that mean if they had manna? So some of the commentators explain that it's true that they had the man, which was the special food that they got, they had that, but he was saying to prepare additional food. You're going to be traveling, prepare additional food. That is how one commentator, the Radak, explains. Others explain that it's not really referring to food. It's really about preparing for the military war. It's preparing your weapons. They have to prepare their weapons. They have to go into the battlefield. And so therefore, prepare with your weapons. It's not really, Hechinu Lechem Tzeda is not referring to food, but it's really referring to weapons. And so that's the order that Yehoshua is giving the people. There is a third explanation, which is found in the Medrash. I didn't quote the Medrash, but it's found in the Medrash. When else did we have to prepare for 3 days? Does anybody remember when else we had to prepare for 3 days as the Jewish people?
Matan Torah.
Excellent, Matan Torah. When we received the Torah, so Moshe told the people to prepare for 3 days so that they are spiritually prepared to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. And so he tells them that you have to purify yourselves, you have to make sure that you're not impure, and you have to also mentally prepare yourself for Har Sinai, for receiving the Torah. And so the Medrash says that over here, even though the literal translation is that it's referring to food, prepare food, but it's not really referring to food because they had food, they had the man. What it's really referring to is to prepare yourselves spiritually for this transition. You're about to go into the land of Israel. You're about to conquer the land of Israel, which is a special mitzvah to conquer the land of Israel. When you go into the land of Israel, you have to prepare yourselves spiritually for that. And to prepare yourselves, take 3 days now to prepare yourselves spiritually to enter into the land of Israel. Yes?
Esther also requests everybody to fast 3 days.
Excellent, excellent. It's another.
Is there something about that 3 day period?
Specifically 3 days? Mm-hmm. There is an idea of number three in general. Number three is holiness and Kabbalah, but three is also the most basic unit. It's viewed as that's what causes a chazaka. It gives it standing and permanence. Shalosh regalim. We have the three avos. We have the three forefathers. So that three definitely plays a big role. We read from the Torah. We make sure that we don't have more than 3 days pass without reading from the Torah publicly. That's why we read on Mondays and Thursdays, and then again on Shabbos, so that we don't have more than 3 days to pass between studying of Torah in public. So three is definitely a big number. Three is a big number. And Yehoshua now is telling the people, prepare for 3 days spiritually as you're about to enter the land. And I find it interesting that that's not what the simple explanation is. The simple explanation is prepare with food. And the deeper understanding behind that is that when you're preparing for food, what it really means is to prepare spiritually. And I think the reason why it does that is because it's telling you that if you're preparing, this is a military war. You can view this as something which is totally physical and that has very little spiritual relevance whatsoever. And so the same phrase that's used with regards to preparing physically really means to prepare spiritually, because they go hand in hand. When you're going out to war, you're going out to... This is a physical war of fighting, so you have to realize this is really a spiritual endeavor. This is really something which is about conquering the land of Israel, about the mitzvah of settling into the land of Israel. So it's about spiritually preparing yourselves. And so the same amount of effort you have to put into that physical aspect of it, that same thing has to apply to your spiritual preparation. They're equal.
What is the root of Seda?
Tseda, I assume it's tsad, but
what's that?
The root of tseda. It usually means food, but
tsud.
But tsud is to hunt.
Tsad
is to hunt. So usually hunting is in the context of food. But that's the root of it. But tseda means food in general. So hunt could also be in terms of weapons. That might be the other explanation of weapons.
Uh-huh. So I'm wondering also, you referred... you refer to the 3 days of preparing spiritually for the receiving of the Torah, and now we have a second circumstance where we're preparing spiritually. Was there a third time?
It was mentioned by Esther that Esther told the Jewish people before she would approach Ahasuerus to fast for 3 days.
Okay.
That they should prepare.
I was thinking more of the whole settlement of the land of Israel and the taking over of the land of Israel. Was there anything there that was also needing spiritually to prepare for 3 days?
I don't know. I don't remember there being 3 days. The whole settling of the land of Israel and conquering took a long time.
No, I realize that.
It took a pretty long time. But this is where it is. This is the very beginning. So yeah. This is their preparation for 3 days. We're in the coming chapters, we're going to enter into the land of Israel. So it's also interesting, just based on what we discussed last week about the relationship between Moshe and Yehoshua, that Yehoshua is compared to the moon, and Moshe is compared to the sun, and it's really a reflection of the sun. The moon is a reflection of the sun. Yehoshua is a reflection of Moshe. And so he's basically copying what Moshe did. What did Moshe do? Moshe had the Jews prepare for 3 days. And Yehoshua is also now having the Jews prepare for 3 days. So it's copying that. There it came from Hashem also. But it's seeing what Moshe was telling the Jewish people and then repeating it here. Again, Hashem never told Yehoshua here to tell the Jewish people to prepare for 3 days. This is something that Yehoshua, just from the simple explanation, something that Yehoshua came up on his own. So
went to his playbook.
Yeah, exactly. What did he do? 3 days. Let's go for it. Which is very important just in terms of the concept of hachana, of preparing. That whenever we go into anything which we want to have meaning and get meaning out of it in our lives, whenever we want to have some sort of event, have some sort of impact on who we are, so that requires preparation. So when it comes to receiving the Torah, that was a very profound, the biggest event in the history of the world. And that requires preparation. And going to the land of Israel requires preparation, but it's not just these major events. But anytime, anything which is really going to impact us requires preparation and thinking about it. And otherwise, we just run through life, which going from one thing to the next without really having to focus and concentrate on what exactly we are doing.
That's such an important statement, because like when you think about it, you know, here we are, all of us coming together for classes, so we learn. So we, every day, like we're, by doing this, we're making our lives just so much more meaningful and thoughtful. Yeah. And as with preparing for Shabbos, like no one ever prepared for Shabbos at the last second. It doesn't happen that way, you know, unless you cater, I guess. But
yeah,
even my friend who's catering says like she's overwhelmed because she still has to think about things, about timing and everything. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
How, you know, that's a really, really, you know, really important process, because it's about the journey. It's not just the result of having Shabbos, it's the journey of how we get to Shabbos and the journey of how we get to our tefillahs. So
yeah,
that's really
there's a famous thought by Rabbi Soloveitchik that he commented that the previous generation in America in the 1950s, their struggle was that they were forced to work on Shabbos. They had to go to work on Shabbos, and so you would have Jews who would go to shul early at like 7 in the morning to daven, and then they would go to work on Shabbos, and that was their struggle. And they say that our struggle, he says, this is when he was alive, that our struggle is not to be a Shabbos Jew, but to be an Erev Shabbos Jew, to prepare for Shabbos, to be from before Shabbos, to have that preparation so that it really, that Shabbos impacts who you are. And that's a comment of his. Okay, moving on to the second half, the final third of the chapter. This will go from verse 12 to the end of this chapter. Yehoshua now is talking to a segment of the Jewish people. He's talking to the tribe of Reuven, of Gad, and of half of Manasseh. Those two and a half tribes. What's unique about those two and a half tribes? Those two and a half tribes, they asked Moshe to live on the opposite side of the Jordan. Right? They asked Moshe, when Moshe was alive, to live. They saw this piece of land, and they said that we want to live here. Moshe agreed to it on the condition that they help fight the war. They can't just stay there and not conquer the land of Israel. The men, the women and children stay behind, but the men have to come and help the Jewish people conquer the land of Israel, and then they could go back and live on the other side of the Jordan. So they were not living
on the Jordan side.
On the Jordan side, exactly. They were living on the Jordan side, right by the Jordan River. But they were living on the Jordan side. And Moshe told them they have to go ahead and conquer the land. And there was a lot of back and forth with it. It wasn't simple. There was a lot of questioning back and forth. And now he turns to them and he says them, tells them as follows. Now this is verse 12. L'ruveni v'lagadi v'lachatzi shevet ha-menasha amar Yeshua lemor. So Yeshua now is talking to these two and a half tribes. Zachar es hadavar asher tziva escha Moshe eved Hashem lemor. Remember what Moshe told you. This is verse 13. Hashem elokeichem maniach lechem minasen lechem es haaretz hazos. Hashem gave you the land on the other side of the Jordan, not Israel. Verse 14. Yishechem tapechem ubinechem. The women, the children, and the cattle. Yeshu ba'aretz. They'll stay in the land. Asher nasan lechem Moshe be'ever hayarden. They'll stay there. But you, v'atem tavru chamushim lifnei acheichem kol giburei achayel v'azartem osam. But the rest of you, you have to go armed and cross the river and be part of the Jewish army. Ad verse 15. Ad asher yaniach Hashem la'acheichem kachem v'yarshu gam hema es ha'aret asher Hashem elokeichem nosein lahem v'shavtem la'aret yirushaschem v'yirishtem osa. Asher nosan lachem Moshe eved Hashem be'ever hayarden mizrach hashamesh. Until you finish conquering the land, once you finish conquering the land, so then you could go back. That's what Yehoshua tells the two and a half tribes. What's their response? Their response is, Vayanu es Yoshua lemor. They tell Yoshua, Kol asher tzivisanu naase vel kol asher tzishalachinu nilech. Whatever you say goes. Whatever you say goes. You're our leader. We're going to follow you. So again, we mentioned last week that some people were questioning Yoshua. We see here that these 2.5 tribes, they accepted Yoshua as the leader. They said, whatever you say goes. Verse 17, Kechol asher shamanu al Moshe, kein nishma elecha. Whatever we hear from you is the same thing as if we heard it from Moshe. Rakia Hashem Elokecha ima, Hashem should be with you. Kasher haya im Moshe. Hashem should be with you just like he was with Moshe.
It's like a parallel from Ruth.
Yeah, it's that will be with you.
That we'll go with you wherever.
Wherever you go, we'll be completely devoted to you. And so that's what they're saying here. These 2.5 tribes are saying we are completely devoted to you, which is a little bit in contrast to how they were talking with Moshe, because when it was with Moshe, it was a back and forth about what exactly would take place. But over here, they say, you know, you're the new leader. We had this deal with Moshe. We're going to continue to have this deal with you. We're going to keep our promise. And they accept him as the new leader. There is a fascinating medrash on this verse, on verse 17. I did not quote the medrash. But the medrash says, it's commenting, and it says that they're telling Yoshua that Hashem will be with you, just like he was with Moshe. So they ask, Moshe, he passed away at what age?
When...
120. Yehoshua, he passed away at 110. And so the Medrash asks the question, if these 2.5 tribes are telling Yehoshua that Hashem should be with you just like he was with Moshe, so then why didn't he live till 120? They ask that Hashem was with Moshe until 120, so then Hashem should be with you, Yehoshua, until 120. Why did he die at the ripe old age of 110? That's the question of the Medrash. And it answers as follows. This is a very profound answer. It says that when it came to Moshe, Moshe had, at the end of his life, he had a few tasks to accomplish. He had a few more things to do. And what did he do? He did it, but he did it quickly. Even though he knew that once he completed those tasks, he completed his life mission, and he was going to pass away. And he did it quickly. He did it because Hashem told him to do it, and he did it quickly. Yehoshua also knew that his life mission is to conquer the land of Israel. And he knew that after he conquers the land of Israel, so then also that's his life mission, and afterwards he'll pass away. But because of that, because he knew that, so he took his time. He took his time. It took a long time. It took Yehoshua. This is what the Medrash says. It took his time, and it took 7 years of conquering and 7 years of dividing up the land amongst the different tribes. And he was in charge of that. And so that's a long 14 years. And so because of that, so Hashem took away 10 years of his life. Because
I don't understand why.
He took his time. He knew that once he completed that mission, so then he had a complete life, and then he would pass away. So he extended that. He made sure that it would take a long time so that he'd be able to live longer. And that's the contrast between Moshe and Yehoshua. That Moshe was somebody who said, God tells him to do something, regardless of what the consequences are, regardless of what the personal consequences are. So then he'll do it. He's going to do it. God told him to do it. It's the right thing to do. He'll do it as quickly as possible. Yehoshua, he was a great person and a great leader, but he said that, you know, I'll do it. He's going to listen to God. It's not like he's not listening to God. He's listening to Hashem, but he's taking a little more time than what's necessary. And so because of that, Hashem takes away a few years from his life because of that. So again, we're talking about people who are on such a high level that they can be judged as such. They're on a very, very high level. And so the mistakes that they make are on the level that they're at. But it's also, it's a very interesting idea, the contrast between Moshe and Yehoshua.
It took him longer to conquer the land?
Yeah. He waited longer. Okay, finally, verse 18 is the last one of this chapter. It says, now, this is the continuing of the conversation, the 2.5 tribes are talking to Yeshua. Kol ish asher yamra espicha velo yishma es devarecha l'chol asher tzivenu yumas rak chazak ve'amatz. So again here, in verse 18, it repeats the phrase, Chazak v'amatz, the phrase that we had three times in the beginning of the chapter, with when Hashem is talking to Yeshua. The 2.5 tribes are now telling Yeshua, whoever rebels against you, they don't listen to you, so then they are going to die, which is a concept of being what's called, the Talmud actually gets the source of this concept is from here, of being Morid B'malchus, somebody who rebels against the kingdom, Morid B'malchus. If they rebel against the king, so then they are deserving of death. Anybody who rebels against the king is deserving of death. Again, the king, the Jewish king, is somebody that's chosen by Hashem. So it's obviously, we'll go through Nevi'im. At a certain point in time, it changed a little bit as to whether they were good or bad. But ideally, it's a good king, and you're not allowed to rebel against the king. If you rebel against the king, so then they're deserving of death. And the Talmud, the Gemara, explains that the source for such an idea comes from here. It comes from this verse. Because they're viewing Yehoshua, even though Yehoshua is a prophet, he's not a king, and he's a leader, but they're calling him a king here. They're saying it's as if he's a king, and they're telling him to stay strong. At the very end, it says, stay strong. Hashem told Yehoshua to stay strong, and then now the people are telling Yehoshua to stay strong. Chazak v'amat, you have to stay strong as a leader. You can't. You have to have confidence. You have to lead the people. And that's the end of chapter 1. That's the very end of chapter 1. Yeah. I want to now just to... we have 15 more minutes or so. So I want to discuss the very first verse of chapter 2. If you go to chapter 2, this is on the next page.
Next page.
This is source 2 on the next page.
Yehoshua 2,
yeah. I just want to read the first verse, which is a separate discussion than the whole rest of the chapter.
Where is it?
Just turn over. Yeshua's on the
you turn the page. Two? Did you get the... This is a new new source sheet. Over here. And so it's...
Yeah.
You have it?
Yep.
So it says, V'yishlach Yehoshua ben Nun min hashitim. What happens next? Now they're beginning to start the process of going to the land of Israel. V'yishlach Yehoshua ben Nun min hashitim shneim anashim meraglim chayrish lemor l'chu ru'u es ha'aretz v'asiricho v'yelchu v'yavo beis isha zona u'shma racha v'yishkevu shama. What do they do to prepare? Yehoshua sends from Shittim two people who are now, what are they going to do? They're going to spy the land. This is a covert mission. He does this secretly. A covert mission to have two people spy the land, to look into the land, and specifically into Yericho. They're about to conquer Yericho. That's the place that they're going to go to first.
It's not Latura
Aretz. But they're going to go into the land, and they went. Where do they stay? They stay in the house of a zona, of a prostitute, whose name is Rachav. The second half of this is going to be the discussion for next week about Rachav and why they go to Rachav and the character of Rachav, who's a zona, who was a zona, but she was a prostitute, but she ended up repenting and she did tshuva. And she actually, in the end, this is for next week, but she ended up marrying Yehoshua. But we're going to get to that next week. So we'll get to that next week. That's a whole that's a whole separate story. But I want to discuss today. Yeah, so we'll discuss that next week. But what I want to focus on is really the first half of this verse. And the first half of this verse is that Yehoshua, to prepare to go to war, sends out miraglim. He sends out spies. This chapter is the Haftorah for Parshas Shlach. In Parshas Shlach, what happens in Parshas Shlach? The Jewish people, what do? They sent out the 12 spies. And what happened then? It wasn't so good, right? It wasn't so good. So, and, you know, the 10 of the spies come back and they speak Lashon Hara, they speak evil about the land of Israel. They convince the Jewish people not to conquer the land. They start complaining to Hashem. That was really the beginning. The Medrash says that was the beginning of Tisha B'Av. That took place on Tisha B'Av. And from there, all the destruction of what happens on Tisha B'Av comes from there. That was really a very terrible, without getting into all the details there, it was a terrible sin on the part of the Jewish people to, at that point, after experiencing Har Sinai, to then no longer believe in Hashem and to believe in the fact that they'll be able to enter into the land of Israel and not to have a proper Hakar Satov, proper gratitude to Hashem for taking them out of Egypt and believing that He's going to now take them into the land of Israel and they'll be able to conquer the land of Israel. So therefore they were punished for all future generations. But what is, without getting so much into the story, is it about the story?
Well, yes. The 12 spies that went out, were they before this? Were they during this? Were they after this?
No, this, the 12 spies is before. This is during the times of Moshe. During the times of Moshe, the 12 spies went out. This is after Moshe. Okay. This is after Moshe passes away. Yeshua is now the leader. Okay. That was all before. Moshe sent out the 12 spies.
Yeah.
And over here, Yeshua is sending out 2 spies. Okay. So the question, the big question is, what is Yeshua doing? Nobody told him to do this. Hashem didn't tell him to do this. Why is he doing this? Why doesn't he learn from Moshe to realize that you shouldn't do this? And obviously, he did learn that. So why is this appropriate as opposed to what took place in the times of Moshe, where it wasn't appropriate to send out the 12 spies? So that's what...
Does it have anything to do with shittim?
It might. I think there are at least 5 differences between this and what took place by Moshe, and one of them is about the place of shittim. But we'll get there.
Because it says shlach lecha, I think so.
It says shlach lecha, yeah. So if you look, I quoted on the third source here, the section in Shlach where Hashem tells Moshe to send out the 12 spies because they asked for it. So if you could quickly just go through it, you could go through it in the English or the Hebrew. Try to go through it and try to see any differences between the way it's described in the Torah in that section in source 3, verses 1 through 17. Try to go through it quickly and try to see any differences. I have at least 5 differences, which I got from the commentators, between this and the second source, between source 2. So try to go through it and see any differences.
Well,
just go through it first, and then we'll discuss.
Tribes.
12 tribes.
Kind of violent, I have to remember, but.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some of the differences between the two?
God commanded Moshe to send the spies, but it doesn't say here that God commanded Yahushua to do it.
Excellent, that's one. So God commanded Moshe, and here this is Yahushua doing it on his own. However, it's important to provide context. Hashem told Moshe to do it, but it was only after the Jewish people... It was out of the request of the Jewish people. The Jewish people were the ones that really initiated this. They are the ones that wanted it. And that's why when he tells it to them, in verse 2, I'm not sure if it has it in English, but it says, Shlach lecha, send for you. This is not for me,
no.
But this is because you wanted this. It doesn't say it in English.
No.
But it says, Shlach lecha, send for you. This is, you wanted this. This is not about what I want. If it was up to me, God's talking, if it was up to me, so then I wouldn't have this. But it's because you want this. So therefore, I'm going to let you do this. But I don't really think this is necessary, and what could turn out could be terrible. And that's what happens.
It does say in English, which I am giving to the Israelite people, which implies that it's the Israelites who are asking.
Well,
But it is. It says it even more direct. It says it lecha,
in
to you.
Hebrew, send,
in the Hebrew it says it's sent to you.
Adatas lecha.
Yes. Joshua did it secretly.
Secretly. Another difference is...
Do it secretly.
Excellent, secretly.
Another difference is that there were there were people from each tribe when Moshe sent them, whereas Joshua only sent two. And I'm assuming that he had chosen and vetted them very, very carefully.
Those two?
Yeah, those two.
Well, the 12 were all, actually, they were also leaders. They were leaders of their tribes.
They were leaders of their tribes, but it doesn't necessarily imply that they were going to be pro going in and fighting when they went to the land of Israel.
Okay.
They were leaders of their tribes, but that means their loyalty seemed to be just as much to their tribes as it was to Moshe.
But then, potentially, yeah. They were great people, but they made a big mistake in this episode. But you're right. They were leaders, and they were also loyal to their people. It is a good point. Another difference.
Another difference is that in verse 16, Moses changes the name of Hosea, son of Nun, to Joshua.
Yeah, so he changes his name, but it's not important for the contrast here, but it is an important point in terms of that story. But in terms of the contrast.
The 12 spies are named.
Excellent. Yes. The 12 spies are named.
Names, and the two that Yehoshua sends are not.
Yeah, we don't know. At first glance, we don't know anything at this point about who they were. It just says two people. It doesn't give names to them. When Moshe sent them out, so these were the heads of the tribes. These were people. These were the leaders of the people. And so,
like a difference between having U.S. ambassadors and Shin Bet. No,
a little bit.
It's U.S. ambassadors.
It is. Yeah.
Like when you have state ambassadors, they're all named. They're all pronounced. Everybody knows exactly what's going on. Everything's above board on the table.
Yeah, Shin Bet. You don't know who they are.
Who's who?
And Yeshua is go and see the land, and Moshe is Latour.
Latour is to scout out the land, yeah, which is an important difference. What is the purpose? What is their mission when they're going out there? What was the mission for Moshe and the people? Why did they go to the land of Israel? What were they trying to figure out?
To see adversaries, to check and see on the adversaries, no?
Well, they were really going to see, are they going to... How strong are they? Are we going to be able to defeat them? Will we not be able to defeat them? That was when Moshe sent them out. The purpose was to see, should we go, should we not go? Mm-hmm. Meaning, should we question God, should we not question God? Or we'll question, let me rephrase that. We're questioning God. Should we go with him or should we not? And we're definitely questioning God. When Yehoshua sends them out, Yehoshua, this is the other difference that was mentioned about Shittim. Shittim is right next to the land of Israel. It's right across the border. Right across the river. So over here, it's a very different mission. They're by the border. They're going to go in. The question is not, should they go, should they not go? The question is, how to go? A very different question. It's a question of, just strategically, what's the best way to go into the land of Israel, to conquer the land?
Yeah.
That is a very different question.
And Shittim is the name of the wood that stands up straight.
Okay.
So that might have influenced.
It's interesting. Are you trying to say that that's like a sign of confidence, and that they have that confidence? They know that they're going to enter into the land. They're not questioning that. It's just about moving forward. And so that's a very big difference between the two. So just, anybody have anything else before I just review the different ones? I think those were the ones that I've seen also. So again, Yehoshua decided over here as...
And Hashem tells Moshe to go and see the land, if it's we should go or not go.
No, because the people, yeah, because to see how strong they were, were they not strong? Did they?
Hashem wants to see if there is.
It's because Hashem was, the way it's understood is that Hashem is just letting the Jewish people. The Jewish people were the ones that really wanted this, and Hashem gives in and he says, "Fine, if this is what you want, you go ahead and do it." This is not really, but this is not something that Hashem really wanted. It was really coming from the Jewish people.
That's why it says
lecha. So just to review the differences. So one is that Yehoshua is the one that's doing this. He's the leader. He's the one that's starting this. As opposed to in the times of Moshe, it was really the people that started this. Hashem allowed them to do it, but the people really started this. The mission. They're so close to the Eretz Yisrael. When they sent the spies originally, it was a very different mission. It wasn't a mission to see how to enter, but it was a mission of should they enter, which is it's a totally different mission. The number of people is significant. It's 2 as opposed to 12. Why do they only send out 2 as opposed to 12?
Well, there were 2 of the 12 that were sent that reported good.
Okay, it's a very interesting point. The two were good. We'll get to exactly who these two people were in a second.
There were no doubt.
You could trust. I guess you could have. You. There's only a certain number of people that you could trust. That's potentially why. And so therefore, you know, the less the better. So therefore, these two people he knows that he could trust. I'll tell it to you right now. Who are these two people? It's not found in the Nevi'im. In the verses, you're not going to find who these people were. The Medrash says that it was Kalev and Pinchas. Who were Kalev and Pinchas? Kalev was the one that went with Yehoshua the first time, and those two were together, and they were telling people to believe in Hashem and Moshe that we could enter into the land.
But who chose them?
Hashem chose them. Who chose them? Yehoshua chose these two. Kalev
and
Pinchas was chosen by Yehoshua. Yehoshua chose Kalev. So Kalev was his partner the first time. So he's a clear pick, right? He knows who he is, and those were the only two of the 12 that really stood up for Hashem and that we should enter into the land. And the other one is Pinchas. Pinchas is the grandson of Aharon. He's the grandson of Aharon. He was a Kohen, and there's a lot about Pinchas, but he would fight for the honor of Hashem. I don't want to get into details. We don't have time. He did. So he would fight for the honor of Hashem. So these are two people who are clear picks that, you know, they're going to follow the order and they're not going to question. So that's why it was 2 as opposed to 12. Also, if the mission is just to figure out how to enter, you don't need as many people.
When it's about this to people.
What?
The two that he chose, they're not out of these people.
The two that he chose, one of them is the same person. One of them. The other one is a different person. But they're not alive. Most of them are not. The other 10 are no longer alive. And Yehoshua was the other one, and he's the leader. He can't go. So when the mission is just to figure out which way to go, you don't need so many people to go and enter the land. It's enough to have 2 to figure out just which direction to go, and you look into it. If it's the purpose is to see the entire land and to see how strong people are, and are they confident, are they not confident, are we going to be able to defeat them? So that requires a lot of different opinions. And so you can't just rely on 2 people, you have to have more. You have to have 12, and these are the leaders. A key point here is that this was done secretly. The Jewish people did not know that this was happening. This was a covert operation. This was not known by anybody. When the Jewish people sent them, the Jews were the ones that sent them. And these were the leaders. The leaders of the tribes were the ones that were sent. This was done in the open. Everyone knew that we were sending these spies. And so this is a general rule that we find in multiple places, that when things are done privately and without other people knowing about it, it has a lasting impact. That's done. They're not doing it for public opinion. They're not doing it to convince people. The ten leaders were trying to convince the 10 tribes to follow them, because everyone knew that they were going out, so they were trying to convince the people, and they had to gain the support of the people. When it comes to these two, nobody knew about it, and so therefore they were able to be honest. They were able to be honest with themselves. There were no ulterior motives here. The other place where this is found is the difference between the first time we received the Torah and the second time we received the Torah. We received the Torah twice. Once was on Shavuos, which is going to be in a couple of weeks, and that was the Luchos, and it was destroyed because of the sin of the golden calf. Then Moshe went back up, and he received it a second time. The second time we received it is on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day that we received the Luchos the second time. So we received it once on Shavuos, and then the second time on Yom Kippur. The one on Shavuos had broken Luchos. The one on Yom Kippur didn't. It stayed forever, and it was whole forever. And the explanation that's given is that because the first time around it was a whole huge light and sound show with, lightning and thunder and clouds, and it was a whole big show for the entire people. And if something's done publicly, so then it's it doesn't last. It's going to break. But the second time around, when it was given to Moshe, it was only given to Moshe quietly, without this whole big show, and that can last forever. When things are done, when you really know yourself, when you're alone. When you're alone, so then that's really who you are. That's your true self. And so that's the lesson of doing things quietly. And doesn't have to be done. People don't have to know about it. It can just be done quietly. And that's another difference between the two. So Yeshua sends spies, but it's a completely different mission, completely different purpose. And the way he does it is very different from the way it was done the first time. So we'll stop here, and we'll continue with the rest of the second chapter next week.
I just want to add here.